The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
So how many people felt like there was something that left them last week just by the small amount of ministry they received? That's great. So we're so thrilled that you're able to come back and to get another little snippet of what we do in training or what we do in a ministry session. Typically, when you have a personalized ministry session, you are with a team of two or three other individuals. There's one person that will lead the ministry time, and then two others that will be praying or interceding, writing things down, listening for the Lord. You end up walking away with a sheet of paper of all the wonderful things that the Lord has told you. And it might be scriptures to claim, it might be declarations, which are changes that we need to state as a child or daughter or a son of the Most High God, that we need to walk out and to leave behind all the garbage, leave behind all of the old mindsets. And so this is always a process, like I'm still in the process as the Lord refines me to be more like Christ, and that's the whole goal. So we're going to start with prayer, and then I'm going to kind of do a recap for those of you that missed last week. And then after that, we'll do a little bit more teaching. And I just realized the notes that I handed you, or we gave out last week, I thought it would have all the stuff from this week, too. And I realized I didn't do that. So you're going to have to handwrite if you want to add some stuff for teaching today. So let's pray and usher in the presence of the Lord for our ministry time too. So Lord, we just thank you for the days and the times of the seasons right now where you are calling your children back unto yourself in an intimate way. We say yes and amen to the picture and the image of being a son and daughter of the Most High God. We say yes and amen to a closer relationship of intimacy with you starting today. And we say yes and amen to peel away all the garbage off of us today. We ask right now that you, Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit would come and invade this place with your presence to the point that all the distracting spirits will be driven away and that there will not be any ungodly distractions, no lingering spirits to harm, hurt, or hinder our connection with you right now, Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you would consecrate our minds, wills, and emotions as we receive ministry, so that whatever we hear, sense, and feel is from you only. And we give you praise and glory for the outcome of this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I just want to start with you, Pastor Dave, really impacted me this morning with one little snippet of your definition of love. And so I just want to recap it because I thought it was wonderful. Okay. He said love is a combination or components of three things. One of them is value. Another one is priorities. And the third one is connection. And as I was listening to the sermon this morning, I'm just like, this is so true. Like if we place a lot of value in something, we will find that we will set it as a priority and we will make a connection. And this is also a good barometer of our relationship with God. If we don't find that we have a great connection with, like, a hunger to spend time with him every day, we are not seeing that he's a priority in our life. And we're probably not understanding how much we are valued for a relationship in his eyes. And so I just thought, wow, this is really, really powerful. Because it, a lot of times we'll just say, well, you know, my relationship is good. Okay. Am I hearing a lot? Well, no. Do I spend a lot of time with the Lord? Am I listening? No, it might be I'm just rattling off all the kid and family and car and financial needs. And so I'm not really having conversation. I'm not having a connection. I'm using him as my my father with lots of money in the bank, you know, to tap into, but I'm really not developing that love relationship, that kingdom connection of being a daughter and the son of the Most High God. And that is kind of what we did last week with the Father Ladder, is to try to diagnose certain areas where we were believing lies about our relationship with God or who he is for us. It's so easy for us to displace earthly relationships and dysfunctions and place those things to how we see Father God. Did everybody kind of identify with that understanding, you know, last week? It was just like, oh, that's where that idea of Father God is distant, is because my dad never spent time with me. Or my dad never went and played ball with me. And I'll give you an example. I wonder if I gave this example. This older man got a treasure chest. Did I tell you about that? Okay. This older man, he was probably in his 60s or 70s. And he came in for a ministry session. And he was just devastated because his dad was a workaholic. And partly because they had a lot of kids and he needed to work a lot. But he just didn't get that quality time. In other words, he did not feel loved because his dad just did not go throw ball with him or go play catch or, you know, go fishing. And he saw all his friends having relationships with his dad, and his dad was too busy, too preoccupied. And if he came home, he watched TV or read the newspaper. So in other words, his dad pretty much shut down for relationship. And so as we were peeling away this stuff, and he chose to forgive his dad and renounced living in an orphan spirit where you feel like you're in the house, but you're still feeling like an orphan because nobody's really nurturing and developing and valuing you and exploring, you know, who are you, you know, and pouring that love and affirmation, okay? They say every child is just waiting to be adored. Every child is just waiting to be adored. It could be by a mother where she just picks up the child, gives it a hug and a kiss, and sets it back down. That is kind of one of our innate pieces. And likewise, our innate structure is we are waiting to be adored by Father God. Okay? So this man, going back to the story, okay, this man peeled away all the lies and everything, and he finally got this identity of being a son of God. And then at the very last piece of it, it says, Father God, what do you want to give me as a gift? And all of a sudden, he just broke down sobbing, and I'm like, oh my goodness, it must have just been a terrible gift, because he's just sobbing. And finally, when he could calm himself down enough, he said, I was just shown a toy chest. And in that toy chest was every toy that I wanted to play with my dad, but I was not able to do so. And wasn't that life-changing? Because God knew the hurt. God knew how to restore. And God knew how to reach and touch that man. Powerful. Very powerful. Isn't it? I'll tell one more story, if I can remember. I have so many stories that they get all mushed together, so I have to write some down. I'm trying to ask which one I should do. I will tell the story of a young wounded boy that I met. He was 14 years old. I was at an International House of Prayer ministry conference, and during worship time, he was curled up in the chairs, sobbing about three rows ahead of me. And usually when you go to a big conference like that, you're really not invited to do any ministry or anything. And yet I felt the Lord was saying, you need to go and ask if this young boy needs help. And he was with some youth leaders. And the youth leaders, they were men probably in their 30s or 40s. And so they were in charge of this large group. And they said, yes, we've heard of healing prayer and we're interested in doing it. They actually had heard of SOZO. And so we found a semi-quiet place and went and started doing a prayer session. And he had been wounded by abuse, his dad sexually abusing him. And as a result of that, he ended up having a mistrust of men, feeling totally unloved, and hated God because the only image of God was a God that would abuse him. And then he wondered, where was God in all of this? You know, and he had become a Christian about a year, year and a half before I actually met him. Yeah, there's a nasty... Is that a wasp flying around? And you killed it with your fingers? Whoa. Okay. And so as a result, this poor boy, because the power of the Holy Spirit and God was so present, this young man just could not contain all the demonic stuff that was hindering him, hurting him. He was just a mess. And so as we were continually peeling back, he chose to deliberately forgive his dad. His dad, in the meantime, had been put into prison for what he had done to his son. And so his dad was out of the picture. But it was a divine thing because he did not trust men to do ministry, but he trusted a woman. And so it was a divine thing to have happened. By the time he was getting to the very end, we asked, do you have a wall up between you and God? And that's one of the tools that we usually use at the very end of a prayer session to find out if there's anything still hindering this person from having a relationship. And I had just previously been whispered by one of the youth directors, he has so many walls up that we don't know if they'll ever be taken down. And usually walls are for self-protection. And so we asked him, and he said, I have so many walls, I can't even see the end of them. And we said, well, let's ask God if he wants to take a tool, specifically Jesus, take a tool and knock those walls down. And he said, oh, he just gave me a wrecking crane. Okay, so does God want to do it or do you want to do it? He's told me to do it. So here he is, this 14-year-old boy going, poof, poof, poof. And, you know, we just had, you know, for a couple of minutes, and all of a sudden he said, they're gone. And so all of a sudden we said, so can you go and be with Jesus? And all of a sudden he's crying and he's running to Jesus. He's running to Father God. And he's calling Father God Abba. And there was this huge transformation. And instead of sitting in the back of, because we were in the back of this big worship center, he went up to the front and he was gone the rest of the time worshiping God. It was just amazing. And so there's just power of forgiveness. There's power of letting go of stuff. There's power of renouncing believing lies about God in our relationship with him. So if you feel like you're stuck in a spot, I want to encourage you to, you know, either if it's too deep, now some of these things are going to be like way too hard to deal with in a group setting. You know, if there's, you know, some spiritual, sexual damage and things like that, we don't want you to share that within the confines of this group because it's just too painful and it's too intimate and it's too ugly. Okay, and so if that is something that you need to process and to deal with, please contact me and we can set something up on the side. Another thing is that SOZO is not the only healing tool. Deb and John Christofferson do prayer restorations, which is a long process of forgiveness and walking through things. And then Casey, he does Elijah House. Is that still true? And so that's another process. SOZO is kind of like Elijah House and prayer restorations on steroids. In other words, it's quick and dirty, and you might get something done in 3 to 4 hours, and you might be good to go. But there's some things that need longer processes, more walking through, more, okay, well, how do I deal with this, walking this out? And so if Sozo, so just ask the Lord, because this is not a sales pitch for Sozo. What it is a sales pitch for you to become believing the identity of you as a daughter and son of the Most High God, that you have a divine purpose here on earth, and to discover what that purpose is and to walk it out in complete freedom. Because we are the body of Christ, and we want to be able to present His image to everybody we interact with. And if we don't know our identity, we don't know our position, we don't know our authority, then we're not going to be able to do the divine things, because the enemy is going to keep us under fear, intimidation, or feeling ill-equipped. And that's a lie. Okay? So that is why I do Sozo, is to equip the body of Christ to go out and do the work that He has called each and every individual to do. Make sense? Okay. So that's what I felt like I needed to cover first. Then we are now going to move. So some of you may have gotten through the Father Ladder piece or done some Father forgiveness things. But we're going to, if there is some, so the leaders, I'm going to tell you to just kind of check in with your group and see if there's anybody that wants to share something, or maybe something happened during the week in regards to forgiving family members or healing relationships in their mind or things like that, or they're not sure about something. If they feel, so if you are feeling unsettled where you were left last week with the Father Ladder, either come see me or share it with your, in your small group, okay? Then the next thing we're going to talk about is the four doors. And the four doors are four different areas where we can where we can fall into sin. And as I was preparing for this a couple weeks ago, I'm just like, okay, so what do you want me to talk about, or how do you want me to share this? And the Lord gave me this picture of a fish in a lake. And all of a sudden, there is all these hooks with bait on them. Okay? And this fish is just like, oh, I could eat. But he knows that he is going to get hooked and caught if he, because of history, he's had it happen before. He knows that if he catches it and takes a bait, that he's going to get hooked and caught. And that is much like we and temptation. There's all these things, little hooks with, you know, food on them, bait. And the enemy knows how to, he knows exactly what bait to put out before us, because he's hooked us and caught us before. And so he'll put that bait, you know, in front of us, tempting us, just waiting for us to be hooked again, so that we'll feel guilty, condemned, shamed, and so therefore we feel separated from God. Does that make sense? And so our task is to ignore the temptations and to seek the Lord. Now, if we're fully satisfied with food, where would we get our spiritual food? From the Lord, through prayer and meditation and worship and reading the Bible and communication with Him. We're not going to be tempted to take the bait because we're fully satisfied. But if there's places where we're not satisfied, maybe we feel like we're not fully protected by God, we're going to go into the door of fear, okay? If we don't feel that we are protected also, or that things that injustices have happened, we're going to go into the anger and bitterness and hatred door. If we don't feel that we have enough affirmation, security, and love, we may go into the sexual sin door. And if we don't feel a connection with God, or we feel totally isolated, God has ignored me, turned me off, or I just want to explore and see what else is out there, we may have gone into the occult door. Does that make sense? So the four doors are fear, anger and bitterness and hatred. It's mainly bitterness and hatred. But anger is in that door. occultic sin and sexual activity is good in the right confines, okay? And so what we do is we actually then go and ask the Lord, okay, do I have any doors that are open? And what do you want me to clean out of these doors? And in essence, I see them as rooms where we have stuffed all of that category of stuff. And we've closed the door, or the door is open, and we are fully going in and out of that door all the time because of the way we're functioning or coping with life, okay? The concept is that when we're done with a ministry session or done with a door, Christ will come and he'll say, it's okay to seal that door shut. There's nothing left. He's cleaned it all out. It's spotless. There's no dust bunnies. The light's been turned on, and there's no darkness in there. And then he'll close it, and he'll seal it shut with his blood, not to be opened again. Okay? Now, depending on your faith walk, you may have some stuff from way long ago, depending on when you became a Christian. And so a lot of people live with that guilt, shame, and condemnation because they're like, how can God use me when I have all this garbage in my life? And the reality is God knows that garbage is there. He still loved you. He still fully, totally embraced you when you became a Christian. But you feel guilt, shame, and condemnation because that was not in the picture of what the ideal life was, in what you think Father God expected. And so as a result, you feel separated from him because the enemy loves to use that as ammunition against you. Okay? So we want to clean out everything out of the closet so that you can be totally free and not and feel that full value of what Father God is for you, and you can have a communication and an intimacy with him. Any questions? So now we're going to get started, okay? So find a sheet of paper. If you did not get a handout from last week and you need something to write on, there's some extra handouts right back there, so raise your hand if you need a handout. And we'll kind of summarize what was from last week.
Was there a second handout?
There wasn't, because I thought everything was on the first one. Isn't that funny? So I relaxed today and made cookies instead. Whoops. My husband's happy. So I'm actually going to give you some categories that are in each of these doors so that when you, because the Lord might start working on your heart even when we, after this time. Okay, so some other things be in the fear door can be characteristically worry, unbelief, needing to control, anxiety, isolation, apathy. Now, why would apathy be in the fear door? Why even try? I'm going to be failing anyway. Why even try? Okay?
Fear of success.
Okay? Drugs and alcohol also can fall in the fear area because it is escaping reality. And of course, you have like the phobias, doubt and insecurity, even clinginess, like I need to find my value in something because I am fearful of not having that around. Okay, in the door of hatred, bitterness, envy, gossiping, slander, and that may be slandered against, you know, anger, self-hatred, jealousy. It might even be the spirit of loss. Like, I've lost a huge amount of money. You know, I've lost a loved one. And pride might also be in that, too. Pride also might file in the fear door, too, to try to puff yourself up. Sexual sin door. I don't know if we need to go there. I think we won't highlight those. If you have questions about the occult door, is anything that is an idol beyond God, the Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. So if you even idolize something to the point that it's a greater priority than God, then you have a problem in the occult door. So like I had a lady who was idolizing essential oils and health. And you could tell the moment she walked in because she had to clean the air with essential oils. And then she wanted to offer me essential oils. And then she wanted to put on essential oils right before the ministry session because it was going to be peace and calm and it's going to help her to focus. And I'm just like, okay, I've already gotten the clue that she has a problem with that. You know, anything to the extreme that it's taking a greater priority than God can be in the occult door. So, and some of this may be generational too. For instance, I had a lady who was Hmong that was from Northwestern College, that she was a young woman that wanted ministry. And we ended up going to Northwestern College and doing ministry. And when it came to the occult door, she saw a picture of the door being far, 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 far away, so far away that she could not even see it. And so all of a sudden I'm like, okay, Lord, what does that mean? And he said, she has so much generational sin of shamanism and that tendency of not worshiping. She had just become a Christian about a year earlier. Her family lineage was just riddled with occultic sin. And so we went and we broke the generational sin and we asked her where the door was at, and it was right in front of her. And it was not anymore like far away, and it was ready to be closed, and she was made whole. And so you might also ask, you know, where did I get this from? And you're going to hear my parents, okay? And then you can ask the Lord, is this generational? And he'll tell you if it is or not. Okay. So I am going to settle you now to hear from the Lord, okay? Does anybody have any questions? Okay. So I'm going to do a prayer to consecrate your mind, will, and emotions right now again so that you'll hear the Lord. And then I'm going to have you do repeat after me questions, and it's really important to speak those out, and then you're going to write down what he tells you in answer to those questions. Okay? So, dear Jesus, Father God, and Holy Spirit, thank you for being here, for doing ministry and doing a kingdom connection with us. We thank you that you want to invade this place and you want to speak individually to each and every one of us right now. We ask right now, Lord, that you would consecrate everybody's mind, will, and emotions, so whatever they hear, sense, and feel is from you only. We ask for your pictures, your divine revelation, your words, feelings on the body, whatever way you want to speak to us, we say yes and amen. And we say to all distracting spirits, be gone. And we say, come, Holy Spirit, and give us an understanding of what we need to deal with tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what you're going to do right now is find a spot in your paper. And then I'm going to say, have you repeat after me. Jesus, what does my fear door look like? And it may look like a door, or it might be a feeling So whatever you get as senses, write it down. Now repeat after me. Jesus, what fear do you want me to deal with tonight?
Jesus, what fear do you want me to deal with tonight?
And write that down. Where did this fear come from, Jesus? And then write that down. And then who do I need to forgive? So repeat after me. Jesus, who do I need to forgive? Anybody need more time for that? Okay, now we're going to go and ask Jesus another question about the bitterness hatred door, okay? So you're going to enter into your small groups with this information, and then we're going to do ministry as a group. But we're going to kind of model how that's going to go before we break into groups. So, Jesus, show me the hatred and bitterness door. And then write down what you see or sense. Jesus, what's behind this door that you want me to deal with tonight? Where did this come from, Jesus? And who do I need to forgive? Okay. Anybody need more time? Are we okay? Okay, so now we're going to model it. So I'm going to have Daryl, my husband, come up. He's going to be the victim. And then I'm going to have all the group leaders come up because they kind of know what's going to happen, I think. And so you're going to have... you can just... We'll be right here. We'll just do one, and then everybody will probably be sitting in a circle around him, okay? But you're going to put, and what the intention is, that in this group ministry session, we want everybody involved instead of just the group leader and the person getting ministry, okay? And so what we're expecting is that the person that's getting ministry is going to either agree or disagree with prompts that we feel that the Holy Spirit is giving us. So as we hear what his issue is, we are then going to ask that the Holy Spirit speak to everybody in this group and ask the Holy Spirit, what you, Holy Spirit, want Daryl to deal with, repent of, forgive for, that sort of thing. Does that make sense? We'll do it by modeling, okay? So, Daryl, what is your issue? Or let's do, which one do you want to do? Which one do you want to do? Fear or hatred, bitterness?
Do you want this one, a microphone, if they
record? Oh, maybe we should get a microphone.
Oh, yeah, let's record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fear of being recorded.
We'll put that online.
Fear of being recorded.
Legitimate.
We can do either door.
Either one? Okay. So what did your fear door look like?
I saw it red and with a big F, which I thought was for fear, but then I realized, no, the biggest fear is failure. So fear of failure.
Okay.
It's better not to try than to try and fail.
Is that what the Lord tells you to deal with tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to just say a quick prayer and say, Jesus, would you give us what you want Daryl to pray out and to be free of? As a group, help us to minister through the Holy Spirit and give us your promptings to help Daryl be released and restored from the fear of failure. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. So Daryl, where did you learn fear of failure?
I think from growing up on a farm, a cash crop farm, where especially my mother would be afraid of too much rain, too little rain, too hot, too cold, the machinery breaking down, every fear associated with farming.
Okay.
And I saw my grandmother have the same fears, too, on my mother's side.
Okay, so it's generational then. Okay, so I'm going to... So we're going to just deal with the issue, and we're not going to deal with the generational part right now, okay? So repeat after me, Jesus, I forgive my mom.
Jesus, I forgive my mom.
For giving me the impression...
For giving me the impression
that I need to operate in fear.
That I need to operate in fear.
I forgive my mom for making me worry.
I forgive my mom for making me worry.
Because she worried.
Because she worried.
I forgive my mom.
I forgive my mom.
For making it seem that I should rather not try.
That I should rather not try.
Than try at all.
Than try at all and fail.
Anybody else getting anything?
I forgive my mom for modeling lack of trust in God.
I forgive my mom for modeling lack of trust in God.
I forgive my mom for projecting that fear onto me and my siblings.
I forgive my mom for projecting that fear onto myself and my siblings.
Even to the extent for our vocation or our futures, what we would choose to do in life.
even when it extended to our vocations and fear of what we should do in life.
I forgive my mom for not mothering out of love.
I forgive my mom for not mothering out of love.
I forgive my mom for worry.
I forgive my mom for worry.
And not trusting you.
And not trusting you, O Lord.
I forgive my mom for creating a stressful home environment.
I forgive my mom for creating a stressful home environment.
I forgive my mom for making me feel like a failure.
I don't think she really did that.
And so that is a way of not agreeing with a phrase. Everybody got that? Okay. So if it's not really 100% true for you, I knew that was not true. And so I played it out so that he would not agree. Okay. So just don't agree with a phrase that is not true. Okay. So I repent of believing the lie.
I repent of believing the lie.
That it is better not to try.
That it is better not to try.
Than to try and fail.
Than to try and fail.
I repent of operating in procrastination.
I repent in operating in procrastination.
And I say to that ungodly spirit.
And I say to that ungodly spirit.
And all other spirits of failure.
And all other associated spirits of failure.
And fear of failure.
And fear of failure.
You've been found out.
You've been found out.
Begone now and forever in Jesus' name.
Begone now and forever in Jesus' name.
And I partner with the truth.
And I partner with the truth.
What is that truth?
What is that truth?
Father God.
Father God. I think of the Bible verse, I am a God that does not lie.
And so, Father God, why did you show me that?
So, Father God, why did you show me that? Because it's true is what popped into my mind.
Okay. So I partner with the truth.
I partner with the truth.
That you, Father God, provide.
That you, Father God, provide.
You provide well.
You provide well.
I am able to get things done.
I am able to get things done.
And I'm successful.
And I am successful.
I love to tackle big tasks.
Wait, are you projecting your wishes on me? Or Lord, help me to enjoy tackling big tasks.
Oh, spirit of intimidation might be big task.
Spirit of wife intimidation, yeah. Be gone in Jesus' name.
You've been found out.
You've been found out.
Be gone immediately and permanently in Jesus' name.
Immediately and permanently in Jesus' name.
And I partner with the truth.
And I partner with the truth.
That God always gives me the ability and the equipping to tackle what I'm supposed to do.
That God always gives me the ability and the tools to tackle whatever I need to do.
And it's okay to pay somebody to do tasks, too.
And it's okay to pay people sometimes to do tasks. I thank you for that freedom, Lord. I receive that freedom.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Is it getting hot in here?
So the other piece is, now we're going to ask you, are you in an okay place right now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And you should actually ask the Lord, so Jesus, am I in an okay place to be done with this door for today?
Jesus, am I in a safe place now to be done with this door for tonight? Yes.
And so therefore, so Jesus, close this door temporarily.
So Jesus, close this door temporarily.
For now.
For now.
With your blood.
With your blood.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so does everybody understand the process? Unfortunately, we're going to probably run out of time. So I'm going to have you either pick a fear or a bitterness, hatred piece, because we're hoping that you'll spend about 5 minutes on each person. We'll get around circle at least one time with everybody. Okay? So.
You should explain why you temporarily close the door.
Oh, why we temporarily close the door is probably because there's more garbage in that door. Okay? And so you can either use this process on yourself or do it with a friend or with a spouse, or you can do it with your kids. But if the, and you can ask the Lord, is the door ready to be sealed shut? Maybe it is, because that was your only fear. That would be wonderful. And then you could seal it permanently shut. Okay?